Oh my goodness, we have packed so much into Christmas. All the chaos, all the clutter, all the craziness. And then we jump into this scene in this hillside outside of the city of Bethlehem. Really, it feels kind of idyllic to us. We look at it and we romanticize it. But the truth is, it was just probably really mundane for the shepherds. It really was. It was a regular work night. Most of the shepherds in that day, they worked nine-month shifts. And they'd leave their families and go out in the hillsides. Maybe there's some breaks in between where they could go in. But they would go out and just like take care of sheep. They were considered a dirty people, the shepherds were, because they were unclean, because they dealt with animals. And they were the lowest rung of the economic strata of Bethlehem. And so they're out there working. They're doing their thing. They've put the sheep down for bed at the night. They're sitting around the fire. I'm guessing maybe they're drinking a cup of caribou coffee and just hanging out. And they have no idea. They have no idea what's going on behind the curtain of the heavenlies. They have no idea that the greatest announcement in all the earth is getting ready to take place. And they're out there and they're just doing their thing. Just like many of us. On a regular week, we just go about our stuff. And we have no idea of what God is doing behind the curtain, preparing for us, shaping for us, arranging for us. We have no idea. Some of us, we live as though we are practical atheists, not believing that Jesus Christ is present with us. We're just there going through our workaday world, unaware of just behind the curtain. God. And the angel armies are assembling in rank and order and file. And they're getting ready. And I you've seen me. I imagine the one angel, and they're just so excited about the announcement, poking his head out. And what? It's shepherds. Where's the cool people? And God. God, in his amazing way in this story, for me, reminds us that us regular folk are cool people to him. I'm going to read the story again. And I mean, part of me honestly hesitates sometimes to read this story again because we've heard it so many times that some of us, we finish it in our minds before we get through it and we never actually hear it fresh. And so I'm hoping maybe we can hear it today in a way that stirs us. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." A manger being a stone feeding trough. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go see. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I want to ask one question this morning and then give three statements that we can help reduce the clutter over this next week. One question and three, like, invitations or three, like, challenges or three things to bring us back to the simplicity of Christmas. Here's the question. Where are you living?
Where are you? Not your address. I live at 30. Oh, my goodness. 32. I'm having a senior moment. I live on Clover Drive in a house. But that's not where I am. It's not where I live. I live in the busyness. I live in the craziness. I live in this schedule that is incessantly planned by me that keeps me not fully living the way the Father wants me to live. Where do you live? The shepherds were living out in the fields. Really mundane. It smells of just eking out an existence, going to work day in and day out, night after night after night. Their claim to fame is they grab their lunchbox every morning and they go to work. I'm guessing, like many of us, they wonder, what's the point? Where's the significance? How does this matter? Day in and day out, the shepherds were living out in the fields. Maybe we could say it, and there were truckers living in their vehicles and driving along the highway. There were workers getting up before the crack of dawn, spending another day baking, another day cleaning, another day grinding, another day welding, another day cutting, another day shaping, another day molding, another day pressing. And there were mothers rocking in the nurseries, listening to the cough of their child night after night. There were men or women sitting in a chair in the hospital room, waiting and hoping. And there were teachers, and there were custodians, and there were receptionists, and there were laborers. There were men and women, humble, lonely, lowly, normal, regular people, just like us. And you're wondering, God, what's the point? How long am I going to do this? And do I matter in any of this? And see, we have this cultural assumption that says important people have some kind of position and some kind of trappings. Unless you open up the Bible and realize God thinks the most important people are like regular people. They're not the people whose names are on the plaques. They're not the names of people who wear some kind of robes. They're the regular people, the people who like go to work. That's who the shepherds are. They're just like you and I. They're on the lowest rung of the economy. They're considered in this culture the same as tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. Like no one said, oh my goodness, here come the shepherds and start pleading. You know what they said? Here come the shepherds, hide your wallet. Because they weren't necessarily trustworthy men and women, if there were women shepherdesses. See, people spend a lot of time living out in the field. Whatever your field is, whatever your chaos is, whatever your clutter is, whatever your pointlessness is of your existence in your mind. And you have no idea that right behind the curtain of the heavens, the God of the universe is watching you. And he cares about you. He says in his scripture that I number every hair. He erases the total of your hairs as you grow older. He numbers every hair on your head. He says, I watch the tears drop. I know when you rise up and when you sit down, I know before a word's even on your lip, you matter to God, even though maybe there's nowhere else that you really, really matter to. God says, I care about you. See, he finds ordinary people. The announcement of the greatest event in the universe wasn't given to people in robes with plaques. It was made to shepherds on a hillside who had gone to work. You know, shepherds who the king of Israel once was. King David was a shepherd boy. Matter of fact, the fields that these shepherds are grazing their sheep in are probably the same fields that King David did when he was a boy. Right? They called Jesus later on the good shepherd. See, regular people are important. But sometimes regular people live out in something. Like Nicodemus, the religious leader who came to Jesus later on. You can read about him in chapter 3. I'm not going to tell the whole story. But he was living out in his religiousness. A lot of us do that. We think that the religiousness, the order and the rules and the regulations and the rituals that we do are somehow the thing that somehow guard us from being fully alive, maybe. Some of us live out in our loneliness or in our sinfulness. The Samaritan woman, you can read about her in John chapter 4. The Samaritan woman was a woman, get this, the first person that Jesus ever said on the face of the earth to out loud that he was the Messiah was this Samaritan woman. You know a little bit about her story, maybe. She had been rejected by 5 different men, divorced 5 times. You imagine, like, let's just pretend that we know that it wasn't necessarily her deal. Can you imagine what that does to a person's heart to be rejected that many times? When Jesus meets her, she's living with a guy that she's not even married to. Like some people would say, oh my goodness, Jesus, no, not her. Find someone better. And Jesus says, I've come for regular people. The shepherds were like that. They were people who basically went to work trying to make ends meet, trying to figure out if they had any significance to God. Where are you living? Do you know that you matter to Him? You might be out in something. And He's going to invite you to hear something and to draw close to Him. The question is, will you? So I'm going to give us 3 statements to help us reduce the clutter of Christmas. Let me read this text first. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, which, as Pastor Nick talked about last week, is instinctive when you see something spectacular by God. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. You know, one of the realities of, like, good news, the word gospel, right? Most of you know what that means, right? We do this all the time in our church. What's the word gospel mean? And who's the good news about? Jesus. Right? Okay, we're going to do it again just so we can all catch up. What's the word gospel mean? And who's the good news about? Jesus, right? And so the idea of news is that you hear it. You hear news. When Jesus talks about the gospel, he's talking about heralding something. He's said, the angels are saying, we bring you good news. We're bringing you good announcement. We're letting you know some great news. And the reality is some of us can hear, but we don't hear. Right? We hear things, but we don't actually hear them. We've heard them so many times, they don't actually penetrate our heart. We listen, but we don't listen. My wife tells me that all the time. And then I have to ask the question, why do we avoid hearing about the things of God? What makes you want to stay out in the field, living out there, rather than in this presence of God? What stops you from truly hearing? Have you heard lately that God thinks you are favored? It says that on whom His favor rests. Anybody who experiences the announcement, who knows, who hears the name of Jesus, that you can know in your heart that God is favored. He's wooing you towards Himself. No one comes unto the Father except the Father first draws you. And I'm absolutely convinced that when people come into this church, that it's evidence that God is wooing them towards Himself, that He doesn't want you just to, like, hear. He wants you to hear. Is your heart open to hear? Like, will you listen? Have you heard the announcement that this is good news for everybody? For to you, a Savior has been born. It's personalized in the Scripture. It's not like just to you, like, to you. Have you heard it to you? I know, some of you have heard it. Like, you know that you're going to heaven, right? If you die, you're saved, right? You know that, but have you heard Him lately? I know you're okay with Him because He's made you okay, but are you listening to Him? I was reading this thing on marriage, speaking of listening. I'm working on it, honey.
The practice of attentiveness. The practice of attentiveness is as an antidote to narcissism. The practice of attentiveness is an antidote to narcissism, being self-centered, selfish, absorbed in your own personal about you-ness. I wonder if we've heard, if we would just simply listen. Now, Jesus tells this parable of his word, his love, his grace, his mercy, the words about that falling on soil. He tells the parable of four soils. He says one soil is like the word falling on a path. It doesn't ever take root. You hear it year after year after year after year that the God of the universe has come down to earth because he loves you. And you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, but it never takes root in your life. Another soil is full of rocks. And it doesn't take. The first soil is the enemy comes and picks it up. The second soil is it doesn't take root. The third soil, I think this is maybe us, many of us, it falls among the thorns. You want to, but life comes and chokes it out. The chaos and the craziness and the clutter. And there's the good soil. I wonder if this week we could just stop and listen, simply listen to the to you of Christ. To you, a Savior has been born. If we could stop and simply listen to the reality that you are favored by God, that he loves you. Like, what if we could just pull aside every day between now and Christmas, just a moment, just to sit and listen, God, do you still love me? So the shepherds, they heard this magnificent announcement, this spectacular deal, the heavens, with the armies of God proclaiming and declaring. The angels leave then, and they get a choice. Oh, we'll go back to work. Or, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. The first one is simply listen. The second part of this is simply look. Simply look. They heard and then they looked. They searched. Did you know the word, when it says they found Mary and Joseph, you know the word found implies something. It's actually, in the Greek language, it could be just as easily translated. They went on an intensive hunt. They didn't just like wander upon it. They started to search, an intentional search for Jesus. See, some of us, again, I know, some of us, like, we've been saved, but the truth is, you can't find Jesus lately. He hasn't left you, but maybe you've misplaced him, or maybe you've displaced him. You've begun to bow your knee to other things. Start to have other things take precedence over him. Will you look? Will you say, okay, God, I don't want to do this missing you in my life on a daily basis anymore. I want to recover you. I want to look for you. I want to look for you in the eyes of a friend. I want to look for you in the words of a song. You know, one of the reasons I love coming on, I don't know if you know, I come in early on Sunday mornings, and the worship team's usually singing here. And I sense the presence of God often, but here's what also I love. I love the anticipation with which some of you hurry into church. Your hearts are prepared, your hearts are full, and there's this sense of energy and excitement as you come in to worship the King. That's the way I picture the shepherds running towards this on the search to find Jesus, because we hurry towards things that matter to us. We do. We hurry towards things that we desire. We hurry towards things that we care about. We hurry towards things that we're seeking.
You will hurry towards things. It's just, what are you going to hurry towards? Would you ever consider this week just hurrying to look for Jesus? I want to point something out. This is amazing to me. The angels were in the sky, right? All the heavenly, the armies of God. Right? I don't think they're up there going like this. I think they're drawing swords, right? And they're these, like, I think they're doing the deal, right? Singing, and so much that the earth rumbled. I don't know. My imagination gets carried away sometimes. But here's the deal. When they left, the shepherds, they didn't start looking for more of the supernatural stuff. They were looking for Jesus. The announcement of Jesus was amazingly spectacular. The discovery of Jesus was very simple. Some of us spend a whole lifetime looking for the spectacular, and that's just the show or the sign of what really is the simple presence of Christ in our lives, a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. I wonder if some of us seek the supernatural more than we actually seek Jesus. We seek the stuff. The spectacular is fun and exciting, but that's not the goal. Jesus is. To simply look. It says today. Do you know what's interesting about today? Today actually means, in that context, in a specific time and place. We don't know the actual birth date of Jesus. I'm guessing about 1,000% that it wasn't December 25th, right? But that's just when we celebrate it, right? But it was a certain day. But you know what? Every day that's today is today. It's always today if it's today. Today, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And you can look for him. You can look for his love. You can look for his a fresh glance of the Savior. You know, we sang this song just a moment ago. Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee. Because you know that's the instinct when you meet God. When was the last time you bowed your knee? Just listen.